Sally Potter's movie Orlando is based on the story of the same name by Virginia Woolf. You may have heard this film praised as an artistic literary inquiry into the nature of gender. But you won't hear that from our film critic Stephen Schiff.
Orlando is the emperor's new clothes in reverse. The clothes are there all right, in abundance. There's just no emperor inside them. I have friends who've told me how wonderful the movie is, only to confess a few minutes later that they kept falling asleep watching it. In fact, I don't know too many people who've made it all the way through without a snooze or two, and this movie's barely an hour and a half long. What's going on here? Audiences are being hoodwinked, that's what. Orlando's period costumes and settings are so sumptuous that it takes a while to realize that they are more or less the whole show. This movie isn't about anything, but it dresses as though it were, and people who doze through it can come out feeling more refined simply because they've been exposed to a museum-quality wardrobe. The Virginia Woolf novel is not one of her great works. It's really a sort of comic piffle. But it's amusing and gorgeously written. Woolf meant it as a joke biography of the woman she loved, the bisexual Vita Sackville-West, whom Woolf turned into Orlando, an English nobleman born in the Elizabethan era. In the movie, Queen Elizabeth herself, played by Quentin Crisp, commands Orlando never to age or die. And so he doesn't. As played by Tilda Swinton, he remains young through the centuries, and about halfway through conveniently turns into a woman to escape being killed on the battlefield. This at least gives the movie the semblance of a subject, because from here on out, it becomes a very mild but very self-important feminist rant, as in this scene, in which the newly female Orlando visits Jonathan Swift, Alexander Pope, and Joseph Addison, all of whom promptly demonstrate what chauvinist pigs they are.
Gentlemen, I find it strange. You are poets, each one of you, and speak of your muse in the feminine, and yet you appear to feel neither tenderness nor respect towards your wives nor towards females in general.
Madam, I have only the highest regard and purest respect for females.
I find no evidence of that sentiment in your conversation.
Conversation is a place where one plays with ideas, my dear lady, though one forges them quite alone.
Quite so.
Quite. The intellect is a solitary place, and therefore quite unsuitable a terrain for females who must discover their natures through the guidance of a father or husband.
And if she has neither?
Then, however charming she may be, dear lady, she is lost.
I don't know how much pleasure audiences can be expected to get from booing and hissing at obviously idiotic statements like that one, but strangely enough, that scene is the movie's verbal high point. Most of the rest of it is about watching Tilda Swinton flounce around in her elephantine costumes, waiting for someone to make a chauvinist remark, whereupon she turns to the camera and deposits a knowing Mona Lisa smile. The only way this movie could ever have worked would have been if the character of Orlando herself, or himself, had captivated the audience, so that we cheered her on as she rose or suffered with her as she fell. But Tilda Swinton isn't so much an actress as she is a piece of weird furniture. Her Orlando seems calculated mainly to blend with the Aubusson carpet and the Queen Anne commode. You might find yourself blending uncontrollably into your theater seat.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.